Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast. This week we feature a special interview with Agnes Nixon, a television writer and producer, creator of the soap operas All My Children and One Life to Live. Agnes Nixon had an article in the July 18th through 25th issue of America, and she spoke with Kerry Weber from her apartment here in New York.
Now, when was your first script?
My first job was writing a serial 3 days after I finished Northwestern, but then 6 months later I moved to New York and television was really getting started. Philco and Goodyear and Robert Montgomery Presents and Hallmark Hall of Fame, and I wrote for all of them. And let's see, that was like 52, 53. And then I got married and went into the baby business, and also Hollywood discovered TV. I had 4 children in a little less than 5 years, so I was pretty busy there. And Procter & Gamble asked me to work for them, to write a script, which they owned, a show they owned. And then I worked for them for 7 years and took over a show that was about another show that was about to be canceled. And it became the most popular show in daytime, and that's how I got my track record. Then I created my own show, which ABC put on.
Right. So you started pretty early on, and you became a wife and mother pretty early on. How did you negotiate working as a wife and mother and as a working woman?
Everybody says I blazed a trail and so on. I grew up with my mother and 3-4 maiden aunts, all of whom worked. That's all I knew. First of all, my parents separated when I was 3 months old. My mother moved back from Chicago to Nashville. So it was just the way one lived. But of course, it wasn't always easy, but I had a husband who was very supportive and helped a great deal. So and the reason I went back to serial writing when Procter & Gamble called me was because the nighttime was moving to Hollywood, but also I would know how much money I had coming in to get the help to do the work that I couldn't do because I was writing, like cooking all the time and cleaning and washing all those clothes. I'm the fourth generation of women to go to St. Cecilia Academy, the Dominican school in Nashville, Tennessee. The four nuns came from Cincinnati before the Civil War. It's still girls only, and it's become a very prestigious place. There were 13 in my graduating class, and now there's 60.
Did going to school there and having the contact with the sisters, did that affect the way you looked at life?
Oh, yes. I mean, well, I went, the same Dominican nuns taught in my parish schools, where my first 8th grade, I was skipped 1 year, but all of grammar school, high school, and 2 years of college at St. Mary's in South Bend, it was all nuns. And, well, you see, in Tennessee at my time, the Catholic population was less than 1%. The whole state was the diocese. And in fact, I think I didn't know there were non-Catholics. We were such an enclave. They kept us so... I used to watch the children going to the BYPU, that was the Baptist Young People's Union, and I used to wish I could go, and my mother said, "Are you crazy?" But anyway, I loved the nuns. Sister Jane Dominic was my second grade teacher, and we stayed friends until she died at 94, and she was wonderful. When she died, the priest who gave the homily said he used to ask what she wanted for Christmas, and she'd say a six-pack of beer.
So now you have what a lot of writers would love to have. You have the attention of millions of people every day with your writing, and there's a lot of power that comes with that and a lot of, I don't know, maybe responsibility. Maybe. Well, how do you see that? What did you feel?
What I see is that it was very hard work to get there. I was just another kid with something I wanted to do, and I worked very hard. But talent is a gift. I mean, no one gets credit for that. The only credit I'll take is for the seat of the pants to the seat of the chair and getting up every day and getting it done, hopefully before the children came home from school and to help with the homework. I mean, you know, it was a gradual thing. I mean, the two shows I created have been on over 40 years now. And so it's been part of my life. Someone asked one of my daughters once, because her daughter's child told her that a mother's working interfered with her life. And did my daughter feel that way? And Mary said, no, that's just the way it was. I mean, I was so busy, I didn't realize, I think, for quite a while the attention that the shows were getting. I was just doing what I loved.
During that time when you were writing those shows, you brought up a lot of social issues that hadn't been really explored before on television, right? And what sort of compelled you to do that? Did your faith play a part in that?
Well, you may decide that. I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, which was very racist when I was a child. When I took a bus and sat in a seat and saw distinguished African-American people walk past me to stand in the back of the bus, that does something to one. I mean, I wasn't sitting in that bus thinking, I'm going to create a show and write about the horrors of racism. When I was writing for Procter & Gamble, writing the show called The Guiding Light, there was a sequence in which one of the main actresses or characters was sick. She became friends with her nurse, who was black. And then when Julie, the actress, went home, I had the nurse go to visit her, not in her uniform, and had the temerity to knock on the front door. And Procter & Gamble called me and said, you should never have done that. And he said, they don't want it either. And I said, who are they? Well, you know, the others. And a company in Atlanta who had P&G products canceled the products. Oh, and then I wanted to do the pap smear test for uterine cancer and doing the same show. And it was on CBS. And P&G and CBS said, oh, no, that Guiding Light is an entertainment show. And we have public service times. Of course, those were on Sunday morning when someone was asleep or in church. And so I wrote out a long-term story of how it would be developed and many other stories contributing. And they said to me, okay, but you may do it, but don't say cancer, don't say uterus, and don't say hysterectomy. So then I really got mad.
It's like when I Love Lucy wanted Lucy to be pregnant, and they said they couldn't say pregnancy.
Right. And so I wrote scenes out of context of how the doctor would tell Bert she had cancer and so on. And it was a success in that for my own doctor, whom I had researched, my own gynecologist, an OB, said he had so many women who he hadn't seen in, say, 12 years. He said, what are you doing back? Well, I watch a soap opera. To me, it was a vital story as important as the daily newspaper headings. People have often said, well, what's going to be next? And I say, I don't know. I'll have to read the newspaper. When I had got a track record for being a good writer and ABC wanted me to do a show for them, I said, well, may I do the social issues? And they said, yes, of course, we have, because we trust your taste. I did it because it was what had my attention.
All of these issues of justice that come up seem to have been influenced by some of your personal experience, both growing up in the South, and I know you had a friend who had cancer. And how much of yourself do you see in some of these stories?
Well, I don't think I see myself in them, but I think one has to empathize. One has to be able to say, there, but for the grace of God, go I. I mean, I just think that's what it's all about. I think it's called being a writer. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least this writer is fascinated by how people live. I was a little girl. I used to beg my mother to drive down Cedar Street, which was one, because it was like Porgy and Bess. I mean, the African-American people lived on their porches. And my mother and aunt's housekeeper was my best friend. And I just took it for granted then, you know, and it wasn't until, but I mean, I never set about saying, I'm going to change the way people feel about I just wanted to show the unfairness of it, the inequality, the injustice of it, because I think that's good drama. I mean, I don't think, and God knows I'm not trying to compare myself to Shakespeare, but I don't think Shakespeare meant to say, I've got to write about what's so rotten in Denmark, you know. I mean, it was a good story.
Right, sure.
But what's interesting to me and what I've always tried to do is try to get the audience to sympathize with the aggressor, with the wrongdoer, so that they can say, there but for the grace of God go I. And so we did that, and that's why we've been successful.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate your taking the time.
It's delightful to have you. I enjoy it. I read America Magazine. I think it's a very, very good periodical.
Oh, well, we're glad to hear that. Thank you so much.